Hi, I'm Steve Goldstein, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
The thing here is that if you have a really powerful Republican Party donor like Robert Mercer giving money to support Kelly Ward, you're right in that it could sort of discourage or dissuade other people like DeWitt or Robert Graham from potentially getting into this race. And so they're looking at this now, and they may need to take some of that into account.
I, as a teacher, have filled out that paperwork myself, and I fully support it for those parents. But that's different than taking regular students out of A and B rated classrooms and putting them into private school that their parents can already afford.
This was going to benefit me because he was going to quit his second job to be with us a little bit more.
I'm not going to speak to John McCain. He has a brain tumor right now. That vote occurred at 1:30 in the morning. Some of that might have factored in.
And here with us to discuss the temporary blocking of school voucher expansion in Arizona, new challenges for Senator Jeff Flake, and other stories, our former legislative leader Chad Campbell, currently with Strategies 360, and former lawmaker Jerry Lewis, also Sequoia Charter School Assistant Superintendent. Gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Chad, let me start off with what's going on with the at least temporary blocking of expanded school vouchers. This was truly a grassroots movement to get these signatures in?
Yeah. From everything I know, this was pretty much an all-volunteer effort, which in today's climate is pretty fascinating, pretty astonishing, actually. So I think it shows the amount of enthusiasm, the amount of concern around education issues in Arizona, regardless of where you stand on the issue. It does show that people are focused on education as a priority now.
How closely, it seems like the answer is very closely, but how closely do you expect this process of verifying signatures to be followed? I assume you're looking for court challenges at some point?
Yeah, this is going to make a lot of attorneys a lot of money, is my guess. But in all honesty, I mean, you know, I think under the old standards, they probably would have had a much better shot at qualifying. But again, we have to keep in mind the legislature passed these new measures this past year that were aimed at trying to restrict citizens' participation in the referendum and initiative process. And so this new strict compliance standard is going to be very tough for a volunteer effort to make these signatures hold.
Jerry, what do you think the odds are that this ultimately will make the ballot, regardless of what the legislature decides to do, if that happens? But do you think this gets to the ballot?
It can, but it goes back to the fundamental principle of our Constitution. We have a republic here, and I think it's important to note that we elect legislators to legislate, to study the issues, and unlike that which is happening in our state and federal legislatures right now, these issues are supposed to be vetted by all sides of the party parties, and to truly understand what's going on here, and then hash out laws that make sense. Okay, and so on the one hand, we want to make sure that the republic, the idea of a republic, stays in effect, that people have the opportunity, as opposed to voters who, a lot of them are very educated, unfortunately, though not everybody is, and they can be swayed by very, very influential opinions and others, people coming in with lots of money to influence decisions, then we may not get a good deal. What if the alt fuels had been an initiative, and how difficult that would have been to unravel all of that mess. And so on the one hand, we want to make sure that our legislators are the right people. But on the other hand, we want to also make sure that if we do have initiatives, it's something because the legislators refuse to act and act appropriately.
Chad, one of the things that I'm looking into that I think we all have that just sounds different, that people who, like Mark, who used to cover the Capitol, are wondering about, is there was talk that some lawmakers might say, well, you know what, we can sort of have a workaround to this. If, in fact, there are enough signatures to get this initiative on the ballot, well, maybe we'll just sort of call a special session or do something where we can pick and choose at this. And that almost seems to go contrary to what Jerry was saying, too, where, yeah, maybe we don't want to be everything totally initiative-driven, but we also don't want to cut off the grassroots movement at its legs, at its knees.
Yeah, I mean, you got to strike a balance here, obviously. But, you know, the legislature has a history of doing these special sessions to undermine a volunteer-driven effort to put something on the ballot. And they've done it a couple times around voter rights efforts, other things in the past. So, you know, this is part of the problem, and it's a bigger issue. I mean, to Jerry's point, to some degree, we need a bigger fix to kind of look at how referendum and initiative are run, how you can keep the legislative power in check to make sure it's balanced with the right of the voter. But again, you know, a lot of times we end up in court, We're in court right now around some of the legislative issues that were passed last session, trying to overturn them. So, you know, this is costing a lot of money for the people of the state of Arizona, and it's really inefficient at the end of the day.
If this is either repealed by the legislature or voters, one of the things that struck me as interesting was that the organizer was saying that would be okay, assuming that we can all then get together and figure out some changes to this program that everybody would be happy with. Do either of you have any optimism that that would actually happen?
Hopefully it would. And what we're seeing, not just in our state, but nationally, is this inability to get together and really talk about issues and debate issues. And I think Senator McCain said it best in his speech a couple of weeks ago. We need to go back to the way we do business here and put aside the partisan politics and focus on issues and hammer out ideas. We're not going to get a perfect solution. There is no such thing, okay? But we're going to get something that everybody will have input into. And one of the things that just made me the most in the state legislature when I was there is the shielding out of the minority party from the discussions of key issues, similar to what we're seeing in Washington with the health reform and so forth. And I saw both in 2007 or 2008 and then again and then recently. We need to realize that people elect people that want to be they want to represent themselves, and that their voice is every bit as important as the majority party's voice is, and we need to understand that everybody's voice needs to be heard, and that they do have in most cases they do have some substance to what they can bring to the discussion, and we need to listen to those people, and hopefully. Hopefully, the downward trend in approval ratings of legislators and politicians will eventually wake people up to this reality that what we're doing is not working, and we need to go back to the idea of listening to everybody, debating issues, and then coming up with something very similar to what happened with our Constitution.
Chad, you too?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Jerry said, and I would hope that if this successful or this effort, at least, even if it's not successful, they don't get on the ballot, at least it'll wake some people up, or they get on the ballot, they bring everybody back to the table. I mean, I would hope that would be the outcome of this, is some compromise around the issue. But, you know, I'm not very optimistic right now, given the current climate and the way that this piece of legislation was passed through the chamber in the first place. But again, it's Friday, so let's be happy. And yes, hopefully it'll happen. How's that sound?
But let's wrap up this topic, guys, on this. And Chad, you first, and then Jerry. No question, K-12 in some form or other comes up in every election. Is there going to be even more momentum for this in 2018, whether it's because of expanded vouchers or something else? Is this something that will any competitive race that we see? I know there aren't that many in the legislature, but are we going to see education be the top issue?
I have no doubt about that. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Trump and any type of federal impact on down ballot elections. But you're looking at a state where, again, education is talked about every year. There's always these proposals thrown out there, but yet we still kind of end up in the same place, it seems like. And you're seeing now, which is a very different, I think, change to the environment, you're seeing CEOs now of pretty big companies coming out saying it's time to put some more funding into the schools. That may be a game changer, because some of these CEOs are big allies of Governor Ducey. That could change a lot of the conversation next year.
Jerry?
Most definitely. Education is perhaps the most discussed about in political forums and races, and the least acted upon when persons actually voted into office. I'm amazed that everybody always talks pro-education to get elected, and then when they get into office, when it comes to putting their money where their mouth is, they run away to either side of their party.
Go ahead, Mark.
Let's move on, excuse me, a little bit to some of the news today and of the past week, which is the burgeoning interest in Arizona's U.S. Senate race next year. Jeff Flake, often labeled as among the more vulnerable U.S. senators. I think that might be his permanent prefix now of his name. We heard this week that a prominent donor to President Trump is pumping $300,000 into the campaign of his primary opponent, Kelly Ward. Chad, do you think that's going to make a difference? Do you think this is going to be a competitive primary at this point?
It could be. Again, trying to predict right now where the Trump administration and their level of approval with the public is 12 months from now, let alone 12 days from now, is next to impossible. So who knows? But with the base, if Trump can maintain that support with the base and him and his allies are willing to throw a lot of money into a primary, I think there could be a lot of surprises in that race. Flake's popularity and some of the stuff he's done over the past week or so has really put him kind of on an island within the Republican base.
Jerry, what are you hearing in GOP circles?
Well, actually, I have a bias. I think Jeff is one of those people that we need in office. He brings a very, very principled base of understanding to very critical issues. And unfortunately, with these tough issues that are being dealt with at both the state and the federal level, you can't just solve them with a 30-second soundbite. Jeff understands the ins and outs and things, takes the time to truly understand them, and then when necessary, goes against his own party, goes against what the president wants, and will do what he believes the correct principles are. We need those kinds of leaders in Congress, and I'm hoping that people will realize that what's happening right now is a result of putting the person with the loudest mouth or the most money behind them into office instead of voting for the most articulate, the person that has the most understanding, and the person that has the most the better opportunity to understand the issues and bring about the changes that we need to have happen.
That's Jerry Lewis. Also here is Chad Campbell. You've tuned into the Friday Newscap segment of KJZZ's The Show in Phoenix. Here along with Mark Brody, I'm Steve Goldstein. More conversations still to come. In fact, another person who has been mentioned to running for Senate as of this morning. We'll talk more about that coming up. Good morning. It's the Friday Newscap on The Show here on 91.5 KJZZ in Phoenix with Mark Brody. I'm Steve Goldstein. And joining us, former legislative leader Chad Campbell, currently with Strategies 360, and former lawmaker Jerry Lewis, also Sequoia Charter School Assistant Superintendent. Chad, I made that sort of half-hearted tease going into the break about hearing other names running for Senate. If people are just tuning in, Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema, now we're hearing buzz, and we'd heard it before, but now we're hearing more serious buzz that, in fact, she may jump in to challenge Jeff Flake.
Yeah, and I don't know what she's thinking about related to this. I haven't spoken to her about this specifically, but it would make sense. I think if you look at what Kyrsten's done in her years in the House, she's established herself as a powerful force. She's a pragmatic elected official, and she's one of the best fundraisers in the country. And you're looking at a bank account with her having $3+ million in it. Last report, she had more money than Flake did. That says a lot. So, and if you look at the numbers here in the state, at a general election state, you know, Trump's upside down now. Flake's popularity has plummeted. It would make a lot of sense for Kyrsten to look at that race and seriously consider it.
Jerry, what do you think about this? Considering this is still, most people would still consider this a Republican state, especially all the statewide office holders are Republican, and yet Kyrsten Sinema is extremely popular.
Well, if for some reason Senator Flake were to lose the primary, then I think it's a clear and present reality. But I'm not sure if Flake wins the primary, I'm not sure that that's going to be a very easy nut to crack for Kyrsten.
Mark, if I may, I just want to ask, follow up with Chad quickly. The word pragmatism. This, to me, even with pointing out Jeff Flake's popularity going down, there is still that huge Republican registration advantage.
Yeah.
And though no one is looking for this day, there is the possibility that Senator McCain may be out of office sooner rather than later. We don't know that, obviously.
Yeah.
Is it pragmatic to challenge a sitting incumbent senator, potentially?
I don't know if pragmatic is the word, but I think that, I mean, it's bold. And I think that it shows, if she were to do it, it shows that she believes she has a pathway, and it shows some leadership on her part. And again, I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton barely lost this state. And since that time, Trump has done nothing to make himself more popular. And the numbers show he's upside down in Arizona. So to Jerry's point, I agree. It's a much harder race for Kyrsten against Jeff Flake in the general, obviously. But if anybody can do it, it's Kyrsten Sinema. She is by far the best Democratic elected official in the state of Arizona, and she has a cross-aisle appeal to many people.
I was going to ask, given the fact, as you say, that she is sort of seen as the rising star or the star of the Democratic Party, at least statewide, if she were to run against Senator Flake, and let's say she loses, does that preclude her from running again, either for Senator McCain's next term or possibly before that, if need be?
I mean, no, not at all. Again, I think if she made a strong showing against Flake, and again, I think she could win that race. But even if she loses, my bet is it's going to be a very close race, much like Richard Carmona had. And it establishes her as a viable candidate, and she has already has her track record in terms of fundraising credentials. She could come back to anything she wanted to come back to.
Jerry, do you think there's a calculus here running in a midterm versus potentially a presidential year for someone like Representative Sinema?
If she can pull this off, even if she does lose and get in, I agree with what Chad said, is that it does give her a lot more additional name recognition. It gives her a lot more sympathy vote, if you will, of those, oh, gosh, she lost last time. We're going to make sure she wins this time. And that may very well be her backup plan here, and not a very bad backup plan, I would suggest.
The other domino to fall that also we've also been hearing speculation about is what's the future of Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton? There was talk about him running for Secretary of State. He also is someone who has some money in the bank. Now, would he, in fact, run for the seat that Kyrsten Sinema would vacate? Jerry, Mark and I were talking about this before the program. Sometimes when people run for municipal office, it doesn't always work out when you try to run for whether it's governor, member of Congress. Do you have any general thoughts about that? Because it's so different, because people tend to like their local politicians and not so much the further up you get the chain.
Ask Scott Smith about that. would have made a great governor. it is difficult, and having lost both in the state and municipal elections now, I can speak to that point, I think, with good experience. You're correct. maybe getting in a special election is one thing, but maybe winning in a district, a redistricted area where you're not the prevailing party is a lot more difficult to do, and are living in a city council race area that's more not your party, that's more difficult to pull off. So I unfortunately, I think party does drive a lot of it, and that's a sad thing, instead of principles. I think people, unfortunately, look at the D or the R after a person's name rather than what does that person stand for? What's their moral integrity? What's their leadership abilities? How easily do they understand the issues, and how well would they represent me regardless of their party?
Chad, obviously, these are all hypotheticals. It's all just speculation at this moment. How formidable do you think that Greg Stanton would be in a congressional race?
I mean, you know, Greg's a great candidate. He's done a pretty good job as mayor of Phoenix. I think he's done a good job. The transition, to the point earlier, the transition from a city type of electoral position, or a municipal type of position, to a different office, be it state or federal, is you're shifting from more of a service-based function that's a lot less partisan ideological to a more ideologically driven voter universe and a very different set of donors. And that is usually the problem for city electeds, is that transition is finding the donors, finding the issues that latch onto those more partisan-driven voters. And that's a big transition. Greg will be a great opponent, candidate, whatever, for anybody that's running in that race.
The district that Representative Sinema represents is often considered a competitive one, although at least the last election, she won fairly easily. Is it still a competitive district, or would it be competitive without Sinema in that seat?
It's a competitive district. Kyrsten's made it non-competitive because of who she is and how much work she's put into that district. It's going to be competitive. And I guarantee you right now that if Kyrsten is going to jump for a Senate race, the Republicans are looking for a viable candidate this time around, and they will find one. I'm sure there's going to be no shortage of candidates lining up to knock on that door this next cycle.
Jerry, you're nodding your head with that as well.
Absolutely. I think Kyrsten has made it a non-competitive district. She's a formidable candidate. She's done a good job of playing very, very moderate politics and has sided with Republicans on a number of issues, appears regularly with Andy Biggs now and then with Matt Salmon when he was in office. And so she's showing that she's trying to reach across the aisle. She's showing the pragmatism that I think she's so famous for.
Now, Jerry, speaking of famous, now, you have a famous name, so that's not why I'm asking you this question, though. But I wonder about name recognition, too, because, you know, Phoenix is obviously an enormous city, fifth largest in the country. But to the point of running for Congress, as opposed to running perhaps for Secretary of State, Mayor Stanton in that case, what do you think about name recognition in terms of the impact that has? Because he's obviously very well known in Maricopa County, but beyond that, does that sort of factor in as to whether you run statewide or for a congressional district?
Name recognition does have a lot to do with winning or losing a race. However, like I said before, I think the D or the R after name has a more of a profound effect.
Chad, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, especially in this race. I think name ID in a congressional race probably doesn't matter that much in the primary. I think in the general it will. But again, I think there's going to be no shortage of media coverage around this issue. So I think any candidate coming out of the primary on either side of the aisle is going to have plenty of name ID and plenty of face time once they get to a general election.
Chad, you mentioned potentially no shortage of Republicans lining up if CD9 is open. Do you think that Greg Stanton clears the field? Do you think there'll be other Democrats lining up?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a complicated question right now for me. I don't know. There's other names being thrown out there, and there's people talking about potential other candidates. I think there's a lot of phone calls being made this morning. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting next 4 or 5 weeks, probably on the Democratic side as well as the Republican side.
Chad, can I ask you a question? Can we hear it first? Would you be considering that?
I would just say that I've had a lot of phone calls this morning from people, and I'll leave it at that for now. How's that sound?
The phone has been buzzing a little bit during the time that we've been on the air. Fortunately, it's on vibrate.
So very briefly, guys, we've got about 2 minutes left. We did it in the introductory montage of clips of news voices from this week. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin said some kind of strange things about Senator McCain, saying that maybe the brain cancer affected his vote and this kind of thing. Without going into this too deeply, how does that compare to what Kelly Ward had to say, Jerry?
Kelly Ward obviously is gunning for a seat and tried to upset him in the last election. Totally uncalled for, and I think he very appropriately backed down from his comments and did the right thing. Sometimes as individuals, politicians, we make stupid mistakes, and that was a stupid mistake.
Chad?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, I don't know the senator personally, obviously, but it sounded more like he was kind of not thinking about what he was saying and saying it, I think, probably inappropriately and backtracked. And then you look at what Kelly said, and that was much more of a self-serving statement, trying to Jerry's point, trying to position herself to get the seat. And that's just unacceptable, and it's kind of everything that's wrong with politics these days could be summed up in Kelly Ward's statement, basically.
And one more name-related question in our last minute here, guys. Name-related because, Chad, someone who shares your last name, very famous musician from Arizona, passed away this week. I don't know if you guys have any favorite Glenn Campbell song or anything like that?
As I'm driving from wherever I come from, I always sing, "By the time I get to Phoenix."
But you don't change it to Mesa, though, right?
No, because he didn't say Mesa. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even know about Mesa. I wasn't living here, but he came with that song.
And I just grew up listening to him. My parents listened to Glenn Campbell a lot, so I remember that from my childhood. That's the kind of the memory I have of Glenn Campbell. So,
Chad Campbell, former legislative leader, currently with Strategies 360, and former lawmaker Jerry Lewis, currently the Sequoia Charter School Assistant Superintendent. Guys, thanks for joining me and Mark on the Newscap.
Thank you very much.
And the show continues. You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's big stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at theshow@kjzz.org. I'm Steve Goldstein, and thanks for listening.